Welcome back to the show. There's no telling where we'll go. So come and share a laugh on the Imp and Skiz podcast.
Do you remember why we started this podcast?
No.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Well, we just started to realize through time that we have a lot of just really good moments, and it got to a point where it was like a lot of these moments are in passing and they just sort of dissipate into the ether, and maybe we could capture lightning in a bottle over and over again is sort of
yeah. You mean like times that we were just hanging out, like playing Minecraft on a whatever we were doing? We've done a lot. We've done Naked and Scared, where it was just me and you. We've done like Skyblock series, a couple of them, where it was just me and you. And a lot of times there's like Minecraft grindiness happening where we're just, I don't know, sorting our chests and stuff, but somehow we'd always end up with conversations, with stories, with just whatever friendship banter and goofiness that I remember our viewers at the time were like saying stuff like, we don't even care what you guys are doing in the video game, we would just listen to you talk. And we're like, oh, you mean like a podcast?
Yeah
Right. And that's when we thought, well, maybe we should do that. We should like, you know, start a podcast and tell all these funny stories. It'd be funny all the time. Just be hilarious, and everybody just always laughing at us because we're so funny. Well, and then all of a sudden, we're giving like life advice.
It got serious over time, and it was you know, to the point to where it's been brought up sometimes because our opening jingle by RT is very catchy and very fun and jubilant and actually uses the word laugh in it. And some of the podcasts, not so much, but some of them, yes, so much. And you know, we've had plenty of podcasts that are really, really funny. And so we thought, let's just do a podcast where we're literally talking about our favorite collaborative moments over the years.
Yeah, because there's been some funny ones, and there's been some moments where we broke character a little bit, you know? I mean, not that we're always in character, especially in these kind of situations where we're together. I think it's pretty natural for us. We don't feel like we're acting too much, but like when I said that, the first thing that came to mind was when I was screaming at the top of my lungs for you to get in the boat.
Oh, jeez. And
a very recent, this is the way my brain's going to work. I'm going to recall the newest stuff first, and we're going to go back
That's
in time
right,
from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Naked and Scared, for those of you that never watched the series, taking damage is a big deal because we have a system to where once we take damage, we lose a little bit of life. We don't get it back.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then the series is over if one of us dies. It's just over for both of us.
Yeah, keep in mind that the show had evolved to at this point to where we had shared hearts. So if I got hurt, you also got hurt.
So I could actually see when you got hurt because it affected me as well. I could see it on my screen. And we were in the ocean and there was a drown with a trident. And so they throw tridents at you while you're swimming around. And we were getting lit up by this guy. And I was just like, our season's going to end. This was literally like one or two episodes into the season. And I'm like, not like this. Like, we can't start a season and have it be over in two episodes. What kind of creators are we? So I get in a boat to drive away from this thing as fast as I can. And I'm waiting for you to join me in the boat. And you're coming at the boat, and for whatever reason, you're just struggling.
I couldn't get in.
To get in the boat. And I'm sheer panic. Like, at this point, it's actual panic. I'm like, our series is about to end. This is embarrassing. Just get in the boat! Like, I literally scream at the top of my skin! Get in the boat! Like, the character god. Like, this is like something I've never put on camera ever. Like, that kind of panic and that kind of just raw, this is me.
What are you doing?
For real, IRL, mad that you're not in the boat.
Bro, here's the deal. So, okay, so you nailed it when you said, like, it's not that we're breaking character, but there is a shared incentive to drive content forward when we're performing.
Yeah.
And we're not going to just hit record and this completely lose our minds, be it with like overwhelming laughter, which has happened, and we're going to talk about that, or in moments of sheer panic where it's like, this is the season's about to end, like you just said. And you know, as I was trying, it reminded me of like when you said get in the boat over and over and louder and harder. Obviously, the logic in my brain is like, is he entertaining that I'm choosing not to get in the boat? Is that what's happening? Because the frustration is only indicative of if you think I'm choosing not to get in the boat. And I'm trying to. And when I think back, I still don't know what happened. But I think I got my wires crossed. I think I may have been hitting shift to get in the boat when shift is to get out of the boat and right click is to get in the boat, right? But I'm like, there's just no way. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, but it has to have been. It wasn't like the game mechanic stopped working, but I was just like, I couldn't do it. And you just kept screaming, get in the boat, which is what I would have done too, by the way. But you kept screaming. I'm like, it's not that I don't want to be in the boat. I don't want the season to end either. But it was so funny because there's something about raw moments coming out that, you know, we didn't see coming. Mm-hmm. We don't, just because something is improv'd doesn't mean that it's fully raw, right? Improv is you're still on stage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A picture, a bunch of people on stage and you have a script and you read your script, you do your thing. That's not improv. Now imagine a bunch of people on stage and there's no script. That's improv. Now imagine a bunch of people on stage, no script, doing improv, and a light falls from the truss and hits somebody in the head. That's just raw. You know what I mean? Now you see what I'm saying? It's like the next level of real, if you will. And so that's what that was. And we've had that on a couple different times. And one that I could think of, and this was so good. This was another Skyblock one. And it was Skyblock, where I don't know if we were sharing hearts at that time, but this was not Naked and Scared, is what I'm saying, but it was hardcore Skyblock. So yes, we were sharing hearts. Yes. It was hardcore Skyblock. So if one of us dies, season's over, and it's Skyblock. So it's very dangerous where we're at. And we, at this point we had built up, you know, some different layers or whatever, and you were high up and we had a 5x5 or a 4x4 water pit, whatever it was, to jump into from really high up, right?
You know, now I know where you're going with this. Oh,
and
my gosh.
I'm on the bottom floor, which is basically like the bottom of the world, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I am over by this makeshift mob farm that we had made. And you said, okay, I'm going to jump into the water, you know, and I'm jumping. I said, wait, I want to watch. And you're all, I'm jumping. I'm all, hold on. And I'm trying to run back and see it. I'm jumping. I'm gonna shoot an arrow. And I come over and you are way up there. And I'm like, and my brain's like, I'm going to take a shot at it. And the reason I'm going to because it's going to look cool. I'm not going to hit him because this is a next to impossible shot. I mean, this is crazy how the timing would have to be perfection, because by the time it would make sense on where to fire, you're going to be at terminal velocity. Like that's how
fast. Yeah, there's actually velocity in Minecraft. Absolutely. As you fall. And you get faster. Yeah,
and you're going to be cooking. Did you say something when you jumped? You said, I'm jumping. Here I go. You said something. I don't know. But you jump, and that shot was just next level, dude. And I hit you, so it took damage off, and it also was, you were pixels away from being pushed out of the water pit, which was the season over.
That would have been it.
Yeah. Well, in that moment, I still remember, because in that moment when I took the shot, you like, we're going, like you're in character. And then I hit you and you realize in the moment I hit you, season's about to end, but you're like, oh dude. And like, you were so, and like you were barely in the water and I'm just cracking up and you're all, dude. Like you were just like, because there's something big about like, yes, we want to create content, but neither one of us ever wants to intentionally end the season.
Yeah. You know? I had a lot of thoughts at the moment. Like, there was a very big how did I get here moment where I'm playing the series with my best friend and I'm putting my life in the hands of the most reckless person I've ever met. You know, what did I expect? You know, everything to just be chill and copacetic? Like no, this is we're going to have these moments and you know, I think that's what make us a dynamic duo. You know what I mean? We have that yin-yang type of thing going on, to where I'm very reserved, logical, calculated, you know, safe, and you're the opposite.
I'm the exact
you're
opposite.
You're the exact opposite. And so when we come together, we kind of balance each other. But it also means both of us have to exhibit extreme patience
yeah.
with each other's way of life.
Yeah.
Because we are such opposites.
Yeah.
And that probably doesn't come across a lot in our content because of the fact that we do balance each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think the general audience sees that or might always feel that. But I think that's what makes us a pretty good team.
I agree because I think you hit it where you have to exercise patience in the world of, would you stop it? Would you get in line? And my patience is, would you relax?
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's exactly. Like this. Yeah. You know, thinking back, it's like, what makes the better content? Had I fallen safely into the water and we move on with our day, or you hitting me with that arrow in our season being a pixel away from being over,
right.
Created just outstanding content.
It did.
So you got to take those risks. And say I was one more pixel over and the season ended. So we start a new season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, that was pretty funny. And it's a shame that our season ended.
I would have been upset with myself. Well, partially, right? Because you have to keep in mind, I took that shot fully expecting not to hit because that was a really crazy shot. So when it happened, I was like, I my brain's like, oh, you just ended the season. Like even my brain was a little upset at me. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I can't, you shouldn't take shot. My brain's like, your risk analysis was poorly done on this one because this is actually very impactful. You just ended the season. And then you didn't die. You're in the water. I'm like, oh, now it's a parade. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now I can celebrate.
Now it's a moment we'll be talking about on a podcast years later, you know?
It was too good,
It didn't always start off, you know, you were talking about how this is like a totally improvised, there's no script, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
We didn't start that way. I'm going to jump around on the timeline a bit.
Oh, yes.
No, when we first started... looking all the way back to some of the very early videos that are still on my channel, mm-hmm. which feels weird to call it my channel because it didn't start off as my channel. Remember, at one point on Impulse SV, you know, the YouTube channel, I was just the cameraman.
That's right, yeah.
You were like the guy, the reporter. You know, we set up this kind of thing where like I had the camera on you and you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, you know, that thing. Yeah, you literally had a script
mm-hmm.
that you read, and it was very kind of like stringent and almost like too calculated at the time.
I agree.
Like we didn't know what we were doing starting off, and we thought that's how you make YouTube videos. You script them out, you read the script, you have your camera shots and blah blah blah. And I remember some of those videos, like we look back and I'm like, wow, we really had to get our legs under us back then.
Did.
Like, we had no idea what we were doing.
Neither one of us found our voice. We mm-hmm. didn't know what we were doing. We were just knew that we wanted to do something of this nature. And so I went with the only way to create entertainment that I was familiar with, which was theater. And in theater, there is a script. You know, we did improv as exercises and stuff like that, but I never thought of going into something without knowing this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we would do like the Minecraft Nuggets and stuff, and we'd actually, I think Roby One was in a few of those with us. And I remember I would write those scripts. I'm like, okay, we're doing this shot, then this. Okay, you're going to say this line. Okay, go through your line a little quicker. Like I was really over the top, but I was going with what I knew at the time. And then as time went by and we both started to find our voice, it became evident, let's gravitate away from the script and let's just be, because mm-hmm. that works. It doesn't always work for everybody, but it works for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why we went that
way. Yeah. I remember like one of the first videos you caught me off guard because you went off script and I was just a cameraman with no lines, at least that I thought. And then you threw me a prompt, you know, like, Impulse, what do you think? And I'm just like,
what do you think?
It's ginormous. Like, I was so, like, caught off guard that I didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to be improvising.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I totally had this moment where I kind of froze and I said the first dumb thing that came to my mind. And, like, I'm like, oh, I gotta be better than this. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm ever going to get out from behind this camera, yeah. I should probably add more to the video than that.
In your defense, a little heads up that we were going to go off script for the first time would have been helpful. But I think that the reason that moment happened, I think that was the beginning of I think we need to move away from the script a little bit. And yeah. I didn't have a conversation with you about it. I was just like, we're just doing this thing. I want him more involved. And I was like, Impulse, what do you think of this? And I remember you're all, it's ginormous.
Yeah.
So good.
It's like, you know, you watch those cringe interviews with reporters and stuff, and they, you know, so tell me about this. And they give a, it was good, and just like, okay, this interview sucks. Like that's what I felt like at the moment. I'm like, I'm the worst interviewee ever. Like, I just gave a one word answer and moved on with my life.
Like turtles,
but seriously, it was literally like one of those moments. But, you know, we did our thing. You know, we realized that reps was going to be what we needed to get comfortable to figure it out. And we kept going. Like, we did the, I mean, we actually called it Skizzle Man Presents, mm-hmm. right, back mm-hmm. then. So it was a little bit, you know, like we said, we were trying to find our way. But Skizzle Man Presents, and we had a little opening jingle, which I'm sure you don't want me to sing.
Is that the Who's the Man with the Plan?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I don't remember, I didn't even know you were recording, because you and I were just building at that time. You remember this?
Yeah, and I think, gosh, I think we were even on a laptop and, like, on a lunch break at work.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we were on a laptop on a lunch break at work, and Skizzleman was on it and building something. And for some reason, I hit record, so you didn't know I was recording. And it was like through the microphone of the laptop or something.
Worst mic ever.
And you just started singing, who's the man with the plan? Skizzleman.
Lots of diamonds in hand.
Lots of diamonds in
Skizzleman. Who's a Skizzleman? That's right.
And then it would fade out. And I kept it, and I was like, yeah, we're using it. And again, like, that was one of those moments that it was very candid. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't know you were being recorded, so you were just kind of like being goofy. And I was like, yeah, we're using it, even though it's kind of embarrassing.
That
now.
Is a like, lifetime ago.
That was a lifetime ago. I mean, that was over a decade ago at this point.
That was, my goodness gracious.
Isn't that crazy to think that we've been doing this for over a decade?
But you know what, though? I don't think we were on a laptop at work building or recording that. I think, and I could be wrong here, but I think we were at our separate houses building, and then you caught that recording. But I think on the laptop at work is when we built the fire pit that says,
oh, that's when we decided to make it the intro.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Is that we were so raw in what we made back then that if you listen closely, I don't know, everybody, I'm hopeful that I'll be able to find this clip. If I can't, then forgive me. But if you listen closely as this is being sung, you'll hear a click. And the click is because I'm just playing Minecraft with my buddy, joking around, singing this stupid song. And I walked over a pressure plate. And you hear it go... It's like in the song because we weren't even splitting audio tracks.
Oh, that was definitely not a thing. No way.
That was way in the future.
No, like the recording software was probably Windows Live Movie Maker or something. I don't remember what we're using.
Long Fraps, ago.
DX Story.
Fraps.
I've been through a lot of recording software since then. And thankfully OBS today is amazing and free. So
I love it so much.
That's the one we use now. But yeah, we definitely had a lot of learnings to go through. One thing we knew though was that you and I, because we were friends since high school, essentially, we'd been through a lot together. We'd spent a lot of time together. We knew that we had this kind of chemistry, this yin yang that worked. Yeah. We knew that the formula was for you and I to continue to do stuff together. And then we came up with the Naked and Scared series, which led to just a lot of fun moments. Because, that's the series where we share the hearts, and if you die, the season's over. And but on top of that, we had some sort of like ridiculous challenge that we had to do. We had a time constraint against us, so we had to be somewhat efficient with our time and calculated with what we were doing, and also stay safe at the same time. And, you know, just funny moments ensued from that. I mean, one of my all-time favorites, obviously, is going to make you, you don't get embarrassed, but if you did, you'd actually turn red, I'm sure. when berry bushes were introduced to the game, not too long before the season started, so they were new. But, you know, I kept up with every Minecraft update. I knew everything that was getting added. I knew about it, knew what it did. And you maybe not so much, but we were going through on top of a hill. It was kind of next to an ocean, and you had clipped your body into a berry bush, which they are like thorny, right? Yes. They're like thorns.
It's naked and scared, so we don't get those hearts back. Right. We have to drive that forward. So and we weren't even sharing hearts at the time.
Yeah, not at the time. So I didn't actually know what was going on. Right. I could just hear you because we were probably in TeamSpeak or whatever it was at the time, Skype. So next thing I know, you're like, I'm taking damage. And you had no idea what you were taking damage from. It's because you just walked through this bush that just looked like a regular bush. We walk through bushes all the time.
Yeah.
But this bush was different. It was sweet berry bush, which will take some damage because like got thorns. So you hit it and you take some damage and you're like, why am I taking damage? What's going on here? And then you hit it again. And then your brain was like, the only thing that could be hurting me right now is if there's a drown in the ocean, kind of like the boat
story,
right?
That I was standing near. Yeah.
So if there was a drown that was like chucking its trident up at you on the hill,
yeah,
and you started to allude to thinking that you were getting hurt by a trident throwing drown.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you just keep stepping into this berry bush over and over again, taking damage, and it was just. I think that the reason it's so funny was just because of how oblivious you were to the situation, not knowing the berry bush was a thing probably, and then associating it with something so crazy to be happening that obviously wasn't happening. And so we came up with this whole, like, it's a joke now, the trident throwing berry bushes.
Yeah. No, you actually, when you said, because you just explained exactly what my brain did, where my brain's like, I can't logically, I didn't know berry bushes, I didn't know there was any bush that was dangerous. All I knew that I was taking damage and I didn't know where it was coming from. And what that means in Minecraft is a trident. Like that, I can't think of any other source of damage where I don't know where it's coming from. You know what I mean? So that's why I did it. And I think I had heard drown earlier. And then it all came together quick. Here's the deal. If memory serves, I might be wrong here. So correct me if I am wrong, but this is back in the day when we would switch back and forth who was editing the episode. We just like shared the workload. Like I'll edit this one, you edit that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were editing that one. And when you came, because you didn't know what was hurting me either, because we had different POVs. Then, you know, you got my footage, and when you realized what was going on, like it shows over, folks. Like, you just, you could not, you're like, I don't remember how you ended up telling me.
I'm sorry I take so much pleasure.
You should.
And things like that.
You should. Like,
that should be embarrassing to you.
No, you should not. I'm not saying you should be sorry. You should take pleasure. That's what friendship is. That's what you're supposed to do.
Friendship well, it is. Basking like, in somebody else's downfalls.
You know what? I'll tell you what. You can very well tell that Steve Carell and Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, that's his name, right? There's a friendship there. And when they were doing 40-Year-Old Virgin, like it was pretty obvious that they all developed a pretty solid dynamic. Well, the scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin where Steve Carell is having his chest waxed. Now, for the record, this is what I heard and I've seen a little bit, but I've not done a ton of research to make sure this is real, but I'm pretty sure this is like, he actually did that. Like when I'm seeing that was real. Now, Steve Carell is an extremely hairy person and they were waxing his chest. And apparently his choice was no movie magic. This is going to be raw because I want raw emotion. And you could tell that Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen were like, is he crazy? Like, but they were sitting there. And the pain was so unreal. Steve Carell is being tortured on camera and they are just beside themselves with laughter because that's what friendship is. Like, it's just crazy how that works. And so in those moments, like you're cracking up on my downfalls, but you should be. I mean, that's normal. But when I'm trying to remember how you told me that it was a berry bush, because I don't remember, but I think you sent me a text or you sent me a little snippet. You're like, dude, it's a berry bush. And I was, and even then I'm like, what does that mean? You know what I mean? I don't understand what it means. You're like, it's a new bush that can hurt you. And I'm like, oh, I saw it. I just kept running. Trident. There's a trident somewhere.
it's like such this like clown moment of like, you're running in circles, like on fire or whatever, but you're basically just running through it over and over again. Oh my gosh, I'm getting hit by something. Smash, 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 right in back into the bush. And it's just like, when I watched your footage back, I was dying. And I was like, this is going to be one of those moments that a decade later we'll be talking about on a podcast. Obviously I didn't know that then, but it was a memorable moment. You know, like a lot of times we'll ask our viewers, you know, hey, tell us your favorite moments, your most memorable moments from stuff we've done. And like that one comes up almost first every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, still around. It's like you said, people still refer to it. Look out, that's a Trident throwing berry bush skiz. Like, never going to live that down. I'll tell you, but to tap back into the notion of breaking, it's like, it's not even breaking character, but it's a version of breaking character, like we were just talking about, the Super Raw stuff. My favorite moments of the Super Raw is your unhinged, unfiltered, uber raw laughter. And because like you're like, when you have laughter that come, everybody has different types of laughs, right? People have space filler laughs. People have, that's a funny laugh. And like for me, I have a laugh that's like, dude, that's really funny. But then there's also a level of something that's so funny, and the funnier it is, the quieter my laugh is, because I just cannot breathe. Mm. Like that happens, right? There's moments like that, and those moments are golden. Well, in this particular one, this fits perfect into a discussion you and I were having before we even started recording today. You and I had a season of Naked and Scared where the objective was to capture a guest and bring it to the coerce a gas into killing three unique hostile mobs.
Yeah, we had to use it as a weapon.
Use it as a weapon. So that's what it was.
The gas shoot fireballs out, and we had to use its fireballs to kill other mobs that came from the overworld dimensions.
Which three means we had unique hostile mobs from the overworld.
Yeah, so we would have had to get like a creeper, a skeleton, and a zombie or something into the nether, where we had a ghast in a cage that we would use as a cannon, basically, to kill them. Yeah, I remember that scene.
Keep in mind, everybody, this is ultra hardcore, meaning you don't get your hearts back. Like, any damage you take throughout the season.
We're
don't...
playing with hostile creatures and hoping that they don't hurt us, and we want them to hurt each other, basically. Yeah,
it was crazy.
Yeah.
And so in the process of this, and I do, this is, and you're 100% right, let me just say that, I do have this weird propensity to get an attachment to Minecraft mobs, and it is real. It's unusual, it's odd, but it's real. And we ended up capturing that ghast, putting him in a cart, putting a crate around him, and then fabricating this way to where we would open the door with a pressure plate just in time for us to jump out of the way of the fireball, and then it would kill the mob that was behind us that we trapped and all that stuff. It was a really, really well thought out thing, but it took so many episodes that you end up developing this weird like connection to the ghast, to the point where I was like, if we end up succeeding and he kills all three, we're not killing the ghast. We're going to set him free. And I don't even remember if we named him. We had to have named him so he wouldn't despawn. So I don't know what we.
Yeah. Back then, I don't think they would have stayed in a minecart without a name tag. So part of our mission was probably to get a name tag.
Yeah. Yeah.
He might have had a name. I don't remember.
I think he did. I don't remember what it was, but oh boy, whatever. We named him something. And anyways, we got through this. So spoiler, it was a great
season. Like 7 years ago.
I know. Spoiler. It's a great season. And we pulled it off, and which is, we got to pat ourselves on the back. That is a huge feat. Let's say it one more time. Ultra hardcore. No health regeneration. You die once the season's over. We captured a ghast. We brought three hostile unique mobs from the overworld into the nether. We coerced the ghast to kill all three of them. Dude, that's next level. We did it. That was good stuff.
Yeah.
And so we were happy. And then we did it. And I'm like, okay, we're going to set him free now. And so we carve out the top of, you know, make sure he'll be free. And then we got to go in, break the minecart so he's free. And you're in there doing your magic. And so like you did it just perfectly. It was hard to like do it without us dying because he's going to shoot us. Boom, we do it. And he starts to float away, and you're all, there he goes, bye bye. And I'm all, he's so beautiful. And just as I say that, he shoots at me. I'm all, ah! And I knew it returned to center and kill him right away, dude. He was free for like 2 seconds. But the best part is your explosion of laughter was so guttural and so visceral that like you couldn't. You were trying to say the word what, as in like what, like why did you do that?
Yeah.
But your what, it's a single. That's what is one syllable, but yours was like 11 syllables because you were laughing through it. And then just to get out that at the end of what, and you did it twice and you were laughing so hard.
Just this like perfect. It's one of those things like you can't script.
No.
You know, it was just this perfect dichotomy of the situation to where like it's this very magical, special moment where this thing that we've become attached to is getting to go live its life in all its glory. And it just did, you know, it was a very exciting time. It had just completed its task and we were very proud of it. And yeah. Okay, you earn this, go be free. And then you immediately kill it.
Yeah.
On accident, which was why it's so funny.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what the what was like. I think I was getting like what happened or how, you know, kind of like, how did that even happen?
That's
like,
what it was.
What was that?
Yeah, it wasn't the. Yeah. There was nothing to the end of the what. The what was all encompassing of what?
Yeah,
like you
after
just,
all that. What?
Yeah, because you like I would have been fine killing him, but you wanted to let him go. Like this is what's going through your head. You made this big deal about setting him free. You've been saying it for several episodes. He's been free for 4 seconds, and you killed him. But I did. I was like, he's so beautiful. Ah, because he shot at me, dude. I was just instinct, man.
Sheer panic. Oh man. Yeah, no, it's man, you make me laugh a lot. That's for true. Gosh, one of my favorite moments, and this is kind of in the same realm of not knowing the berry bush existed.
Yeah,
but it was more just like anytime you're like super confused at what I'm doing, I find very funny, you know, because in my head, like I've already like thought through, like the second the season starts, I've already done like a huge like flow chart on exactly what we need to do to accomplish the goal.
Yeah.
And in this specific instance, I knew what we needed, but you didn't. And so it was just so simple. It was the simplest of thing. We had a patch of grass and I got some bone meal. And if you bone meal grass in Minecraft, it'll grow flowers randomly and some other things. And I was so excited for this moment because we finally had our patch of grass. I finally had some bone meal. And what that bone meal was going to do was something important. So I bone meal the grass. And I kind of look at you like, we did it, man, all excited. And your response was,
what's that
like, you had no idea why that was important. And in my brain, I just thought that was the funniest thing ever because it was like just the sheer confusion. It why I was so excited to get these flowers and you just having no clue at all what the point was. What's that going to do? And I just the way you said it, I think, as well in the moment, I just lost it.
You absolutely lost it.
I couldn't function
for
like a good minute after that. I'm pretty sure I about hyperventilated on that one.
Yeah. Well, what's funny. So, and I, when you bone mealed it and all the grass and the flowers grew, I actually went, whoa. And then I'm all, whoa, what's that going to do? And then you lost it. And I started laughing too, because I'm like, okay, obviously I'm missing something pretty big here. And I'm like, and I just ran away. I just
don't even want to know.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just
going to
run away.
Explain it to me off camera. Yeah. Like, I don't want to know. Yeah. No, those are the most fun moments, you know, that we have together. It's just those, and it's totally natural. You know, I think
that is.
I think there's something about being together and having our like connection and our experience that this it makes me way more comfortable. Like usually when I hit record and I'm by myself or you're not around or whatever, I have like anxiety the second I hit record and I'm worried about what I'm saying and I get in my own head and I say 10 times more often than when you're around and I can just speak naturally. I feel much more comfortable. And I think because of that, whenever we're together doing these kind of duo series, and even now I'm finding on Hermitcraft, when I come over and just hang out with you, you can just almost feel that all go away, that anxiety, that like tension. You can almost hear it in my voice just kind of like drop. And when that happens, it puts me in this state to where I can just be more natural with you and we can just have our back and forth like if we're just hanging out off camera. You know what I mean? Like you take me to a place to where I don't actually feel like I'm on camera anymore just because we've spent so much time together off camera that it feels natural just to be us.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And that's the friendship works even right there when the Impulse and the Skizzle Man Minecraft characters are just hanging out or next to each other, messing with each other and all that. But we also have sort of this overarching understanding on where our strengths and where our weaknesses are. And and we play into those as well. And sometimes those things we have no actual control over, so fate has to play a part of it. And one is the joke we make about your very good luck and my bad luck. Mm-hmm. Like, we make this joke a lot. And sometimes that narrative, fate comes and helps that narrative, right? And we had one. Sure. We had a moment not too long ago. In fact, it was, honestly, it was just a handful of episodes ago of season 10 here, where I'll tell you what, man, I, for the life of me, keep in mind, getting a Wither Skull in Minecraft is not a super easy task, right? It's a very deadly mob that's in the Nether, the chances of them dropping one of their skulls is pretty rare. So you want to make sure you equip yourself with a sword that's got looting 3 on it to give you the best odds that you can. And then it's going to be a grind, but you're still going to get the Wither Skulls that you need. Well, you and I were basically Wither Skull hunting. Well, you were, anyways. We were both killing plenty of them. And I had looting 3, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is... And so I started this whole bit of, it didn't happen that time. I mean, this time for sure. Next thing I know, my brain's like, okay, this is a fun bit, but... Met, statistically, or from a probability standpoint, we're diving into the realm of the impossible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it is not possible. It is not statistically probable, is what I should say. It's horrendously statistically improbable for me to not have gotten at least one skull by now. You had gotten like 9 or something, and I had none. And I'm like, this makes no sense. And when you do the math on what it should be, I'm like, based on the math, I should have like 5 by now. I don't have 1. So we're going on and on, make a bit out of it, make a bit. And as I'm doing, I hear you in the background, you know, all of a sudden you'd be all skull. You would just say that skull. I'm like, you got another one? Yeah. Like, what's happening? So finally we made the joke. I just threw you my sword. I'm like, just take my sword, go kill. This is what I said. Take my sword, go kill that wither and get us a skull. Like, literally in the end.
Yeah, because I joked about like something being wrong with your sword.
Yeah,
as if that's a thing. It's not a thing, obviously.
It's not a thing.
Yeah. We had the exact same enchantments and stuff. And so, yeah, obviously it wasn't a thing. So you just gave me your sword and that was
unreal.
It was unreal. It was like unreal. You literally called it. You're like, you're gonna take that sword and get a skull, and it's first one I hit, which I think I'm probably wrong. I think the probability was like 1 in 20 or something.
It's like
that.
Well, you mean with looting 3?
Yeah, okay. I can't remember.
That might be right. I don't know what it was, but I'd killed like 92 of them. Yeah, or something. Yeah.
And you're way past the probability. It being in, you know, you should have gotten, like you said, like 5 or whatever. But so for me to hit 1. On demand and get the skull with a 1 in 20 chance was just insane.
Well, not only a 1 in 20 chance, but I just killed like 92 before that.
Yeah.
And I said, go kill that one. And you did it. And you know what's funny is when you did it, I was like, I even said, I go kill that one and get a skull. And I said under my breath, I swear to God, if you get a skull, I swear. And then you did. I see the skull pop off them all. I swear to God. You know what I mean? I was just like, so like, what? But I had so much fun editing that scene, right? Putting that whole compilation together and having the music like supplement that moment, like the pulsing of the music on how right when you got it, like it went with the resolution of the music, and it just like to the point where I was like, this is so beautiful. Like, it's you literally cannot script that, because you needed we needed fate in the Minecraft gods to be in on it. And it was the whole thing just, oh, and I did, it happened on stream. Yeah. It was like, my goodness gracious. I remember that happened on stream and chat just went off. They're just like, no way. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah. It's insane how many moments just that we've had that are just so memorable of just kind of like falling into place.
Yeah.
That way, you know, it's like the universe wants us to create content together.
Yeah.
You know, is fantastic. You know,
I'm in universe.
Yeah. Yeah. we're on the ride for sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously it led to this podcast, which we're 90 plus episodes into by now. So, that's just insane. But I mean, we've had a lot of fun doing Minecraft stuff, but we've also had a lot of fun doing stuff outside of Minecraft.
Yeah, of course.
You know, like, anytime we get a chance to, not just other games. I mean, we've had a lot of good moments in Phasmo.
Oh yeah.
As well to where, you and I, we have our soundboards, our mixers that can like do voice modulators. Mm-hmm. And that's always fun to pop into voice modulator mode and You had mentioned a moment where we'd gone like all high pitched and you made me laugh. And when I laugh, my octaves go up naturally.
Yeah.
But imagine taking a voice modulator and cranking the pitch all the way up as high as you can go.
Yeah.
And then also on top of that, laughing in a high pitched voice.
Yeah, dude.
Like I'm surprised I wasn't shattering speakers,
dogs,
you know, like or glass, you know, people like having a glass of wine and shatters in their lap, and they're like, dang it, Impulse, don't laugh with a voice modulator. That's I don't even remember what it was that you made me laugh about that day.
You know, it was funny. So you, me, and Jem were playing, and I don't remember why you and I just all of a sudden got like slap happy silly, and we both turned on the modulators, and we were just like going back and forth and just cracking each other up, and then you cast some sort of like insult my way. And I said, I'm going to kick you right in the gemstones. But this is all high pitch voice. And then you were laughing at what I said and you repeated what I said. Cause you know, sometimes we do that. We repeat what just made us laugh, but you could barely get the words out. And that's when that high pitch laugh was going. And you could tell Jeb was just like, something wrong with y'all.
Oh, that's when she busted the something wrong with y'all line.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good one.
Well, the first time, actually that's another, oh no, hold on. The first time, no. Yes. Yeah. The first time she ever said that was when we were doing the April Fool's episode, not the VR one, but last year's.
Yeah. There was a really good April Fool's update to Minecraft that came out in 2023.
Yeah.
April Fool's. And a group of us got together to play it because they introduced some of the craziest stuff. Like you could go to the moon or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're also, and you could fly around as a bee and stuff. And yeah, there's all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah, and we had a moment where, you know, we played for a while, and it was a big group of us. Jimmy was in there, Jem was in there, Green was in there, Joel was there, Lizzie was there, Big B was there, I think Martin was there. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, there was a time where we were, like, just kind of doing something and not necessarily in recording mode or whatever, and Jimmy says, like, udders or something. He says something about the udders. And
oh, God, you're ready to tell this story, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you said...
Are we going to have to asterisk this one now?
No!
Okay. Well, if you have small children in the room, you might want to...
All right, fine. Then we'll move on.
Tell the story. Yeah. I just gave the warning.
Well,
small children have vacated the room. We're allowed to tell the story now.
This is what you said. you said, did you just say you're uglies? Like he said something about his cow's udders.
Oh, udder, and I thought I heard uglies.
Yeah, you say you're uglies, and he's all, what? And Jimmy's all, udders? And you're all, oh. And he said, I thought you were talking about your uglies. And we all started laughing. And I said, Impulse's parents didn't have the sex talk with him. Stop. And I started, like, being your mom. I'm all, quit playing with the uglies. And, dude, Jimmy starts cracking up. We're all dying. And I said, God's watching you play with your uglies. And we just, the three of us, are just beside ourselves with laughter. And I didn't even know that Jem was in earshot. She's all, there's something wrong with y'all. It was so funny, man. That was the first time she said that.
And that did not make the cut of any of our videos, didn't think, did it?
No, of course not.
Because we keep those pretty PG. But
yeah.
It's fun to know that, like, that kind of stuff does go on. It, behind the scenes in these groups, like obviously we are all older, like all of us now at this point are older, and you know, we're allowed to be a little bit more mature in our off-camera senses of humor,
and
it happens quite a bit. But yeah, hearing Jem something wrong with y'all,
there's something wrong with
y'all. that was pretty funny. So one thing that I think it comes with kind of the time that we've spent together over the last couple decades, because we've known each other 25 years now, probably.
Long time,
plus,
dude.
Is our ability to read each other.
Yeah.
Like, pretty quick, I think. Like, we've gotten, like you actually have a hard time kind of, like, trolling me or tricking me, because I'm so, like, used to what you do. You have to, like, constantly come up with new ways to get me, because I've been through the ringer with you, and I know what's coming. I know how your mind is thinking. Well, that actually comes in really handy when we have somebody to troll together.
Oh.
Do you remember not too long ago, sitting right here in between us was our man Tango, and we were doing a couch stream playing old school video games. I bought the NES console, and we were playing old school Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah.
And Tango had like never played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was just, it just blew both of our minds because, yeah, we grew up on it. And that was insane to us. But anyway, he was playing and he gets that cut scene in between fights where it's like the Rocky character that's like supposed to be going up the steps in Philadelphia and like Adrian and all that stuff, right? And he's running along the road and the coach is on the bike he's trying to keep up with him. And you and I both somehow, well, I think you started it, right?
I started it, and you went with it.
Yeah, what was the kickoff to
Kickoff was, so it's like every three fights, it goes into this little inner like bumper shot training thing. It's just an animation. And as soon as it went to it, I'm all, you got to do the buttons with the feet. He's all, what am I doing? You know, he was one of those. And I said, you got it. This is the training mode and you can't, to get to the next fight, you have to execute the training. So you need to tap the A and B like in line with his feet. And he's all, and he just starts tapping it, tap, 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 tap. And then you're all, like that. And you're like, you got in on it. And he's like, am I doing it? I'm like, you're doing it. I was like, as long as the animation's still going, you just got to get to the end of it. So he is just focused. And then it gets through it and I'm all, there you go. You did it. And he's all, I don't know what I did. I'm like, you got through that, man. That's actually not easy. And he's like, okay. And then we got all quiet and you and I just start laughing. He's like, what? And he does one of these, you know, he's like, oh, you guys are messing with me. It was so funny.
I think it was definitely one of those scenarios where had I not jumped in, Tango would have assumed that you were trolling him.
100%,
Because that's your nature. Yeah. But because I jumped on board so quick and acted just so like nonchalant, matter of a fact. Yeah, you got to alternate A, B, A, B, A, B. In fact, okay, might want to hit space when you, whatever. Started just kind of like jumping into this and to see somebody like hyper focused as if they're actually doing something challenging during a literal cutscene that like you should be going and getting a glass of water during. That was just, I mean, there's nothing better.
It was so good.
Tango.
And that was right on the spot, improv, two-way trolling, crushing it.
Yeah.
But you know, you and I have also proven that we can get deliberate if we need to. And sometimes we do bits where you have to be deliberate, right? And when we redid the Bill O'Reilly We'll Do It Live.
Oh man.
That was a really, really tall order for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was on this podcast in case people missed it.
Yeah. That was on this podcast in that room as we're in the
Anger, right? Because that's how that came up. We were doing a podcast on anger. And so and I think I came up with the idea to do that.
Yeah, it was your idea. Right?
We were going to do a podcast on anger, and you had recently introduced me to the We're Doing It Live
clip.
Clip on that went viral, Bill O'Reilly. And he got angry. He broke. Well, he thought he was off camera, but he wasn't. Apparently, you're never off camera when you're surrounded by cameras.
Yeah.
Which is us right now.
He knew he was on camera. He didn't think that would ever get out.
He thought that was like going to stay in the studio. And it didn't. But he got angry. And so I was like, oh, this is perfect way to. Well, I knew anger was going to be a heavy topic, right? Yeah. Like sometimes we have topics on this show that feel heavy. And I always like to bring to something to lighten the mood, you know, a little bit of something just so it's not just so heavy. And I was like, if we show that, it basically is giving that timbre to this podcast that we're going to talk about anger, but we're still going to make it funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you're absolutely right, because anger can be funny. That's what we discussed. But I remember, because like you said, it was your idea. And when you said, we're going to do the Bill O'Reilly, you actually said you're going to reenact the Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, I literally just said, you're doing it, because I know that you will crush it.
Yeah. And it was, I was like, dude, I am in. I'm not phoning this in. And I really studied it hard, like every little bit of it. Well, you also had a role off camera where you had to be the producer saying the things that the producer said. You had to say the exact thing that the producer said with the exact timing, including the words that we couldn't really understand. At one point, I think you were just making noises that matched the the incomprehensible noises that the producer was making. And so when it comes down to it, that whole clip is one of my proudest performance moments of my life. And I'm going back to when I did theater as a kid and stuff like that. And it was because my partner at the time was taking the execution of it equally as serious as I was. And that's what makes, I know this is going to be kind of weird. is that I'm a goofball and I like to mess around, but there are times in life where the only option on the table is going to be perfection. And that was one of those times when if I'm doing like a marching style drumming, the only option that's on the table is totally clean, completely perfectly executed. Mm-hmm. But I don't do that with everything. I do with actually not a lot of things. And that was one of them. And so what had happened was you said, you're going to reenact the Bill O'Reilly. We'll do it live. And I think you actually said, and you're going to crush it. And I think if I'm not mistaken, I said, I'm in. And then the next day you're like, are you still in? Because we gave it a day to think about it. This could be a bad idea. I'm like, this is unequivocally a great idea. And so I was very apt to try to make it as solid as possible, but so were you. Mm-hmm. So here's a situation where improv was 100% out the window, nowhere on the table. And now we've got to revert to this extremely professional approach. And I think we nailed it. And we proved that like our collaborations that we do, it's not just because we're friends. It's because we actually have a really shared, not even intention, it's not the word I'm looking for, but a shared interest, shared investment in mm-hmm. making great content.
Yeah.
We both have that.
Do you remember, I hope I'm right on this, the take that was used was actually meant to be a practice take.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
What so, is that?
So we were about to do just a run through, our first full run through yep. of trying to record that bit.
Yeah.
And we weren't even going to hit record. We were just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, let's hit record just in case.
Yeah.
Good thing I did.
Yes,
because
dude.
We were one take wonders that day.
Yes.
And that was it.
Yeah.
That was the first full run through of that bit.
Yeah.
And we nailed it. And mainly you, because you had obviously had the hardest part. In fact, like when you sent me the clip, I had no idea that there was more to it. Like there was a shortened version of that clip.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I initially just thought we were doing the short version.
Yeah.
And then as we were practicing, you kept going. I'm all, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Because then I was like, I only learned the lines from the short version.
Yeah.
And I had to like quickly learn the lines from the long version.
Yep.
Like the day of.
Yes, you did.
And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to let him down because I knew how into this you were. And I really thought we were doing the short version.
Yeah.
And you wanted to go for it. And I was like, man, okay, he's into this.
Yeah.
Like I can see he's like, you wanted the exact like pen
everything.
That he had. Yeah. You wanted like everything. You were mad you didn't have like a watch. Borrowed my watch just to fit the part. Like you wanted to crush it and be like spot on.
Yep.
And I think I can proudly say, and maybe I'm a bit biased, but like I think we did a better job than Family Guy.
You're reading my mind. That was my goal.
Yeah.
Because Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane is one of my heroes. Family Guy is one of my favorite things on the planet. It has been for decades and will continue to be. And I was like, I want to whoop their ass in this because they did a great job. But after I really studied it and I looked at what we did, I'm like, oh, their accuracy was garbage compared to ours. Like garbage. You know what I mean? In fact, to this moment, what's killing me is that I didn't bring a suit so I could stand up and whip that suit the way he does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I didn't have one. And so I was like, I'm going to have to be at peace with the fact that I don't have that suit. And so, but still to this day, I'm like, I should have found a way to get one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. That was a good one. People don't know what we're talking about. Just it's on this channel.
Yeah.
Podcast.
The podcast look called for, Anger. Just Anger. Look at the opening clip.
I don't know. It feels like, gosh, if I had to guess, 3 months ago.
That's about right.
So that would be like 12 episodes ago, 15 episodes ago.
It's all blurring together for me, dude.
It's crazy. Like we've gotten to the point now, being 90 plus episodes into this podcast, to where gosh, I was sitting there the other day and I was just like thinking of things we could talk about on this show. We do have a list that we look at every once in a while, but I always want to come up with new things to talk about. And MCC had just gotten announced and I was like, man, we should do a podcast on competitiveness. And I look and thanks to Alette for putting together a spreadsheet that
yeah.
lists every single one. I quickly pulled it up and I was like, oh yeah, we did that episode 12.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like it's so long ago now that I've forgotten a lot of the things that we've talked about. And in fact, and we kind of did this with What's Still Stopping You, where we revisited mm-hmm. a very early topic because, I mean, now a lot has happened since then to where I thought maybe we would have a different take or more to add to old topics. But I mean, there's so much more on the table for us to talk about in the future that I'm not too concerned about going back. And honestly, I still very much love having guests on. You know, as much as we talk about our dynamic together of just being me and you, I think that the chemistry that we have together leads into us also being very good at like doing interviews together with our guests, because we feel each other. We feel when it's time, like, oh, I kind of dominated the questions for a little bit, and you pick up on that and you know, like, okay, it's time for it's my turn or whatever. And I think we have a pretty good back and forth.
We do have a good back and forth. And I think the testament to that is the fact that every guest we've had talks about the fact that they were a little nervous coming in, but when they were done, they felt like they were very comfortable. It was like that. I think that we're doing a good job, keeping it very professional and also really, really comfortable. You know what I mean? Cause I want the guests to feel that. I want them to, walk away feeling good. Like that was good. I felt like I didn't disclose anything I was uncomfortable about, and they were very, you know, respectful for the whole energy. And that's what I think what we're able to do. Cause we seem to be, we never really talked about it either. You realize that we said we want to have guests. That's about as far as that.
That's about,
yeah. We never talked about like, well, okay, well, how, you know, how deep do we want to take it, or how much do we want to push? We were like, no, we don't need to talk.
Do we want to spend hours on hours like researching their past and digging up stuff? And we do a little bit. And we get some help from our Glimpse supporters on Glimpse.me. We have a campaign that we run to just have people kind of like help out, you know, help sponsor the show kind of. And we ask that community all the time, like, hey, we're going to have this guest on. We'll tell them who the guest is in advance, which is just kind of a perk that they have. But they'll submit like, hey, we'll ask them these questions. And a lot of our community on Glimpse, they know our guests. Like, some of them have been fans of them since they've, you know, a lot of the ones we have are like YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
So they will be familiar with their backstory, and they watch their streams, and they know these people better than we do in a lot of cases. And so they'll submit, you know, ask him about this time, you know, how did he feel about being the sheriff that got made fun of on Empires and stuff, right? And it's just like, we're grateful for that, because you and I, we're very busy. You know, we do a lot of things. Like, you're right now juggling very big stuff, you know, like with full-time job, podcast, Hermitcraft, family, all the things going on with your daughter and everything that we talked about on a show a few weeks ago. And so we don't have time to sit down. We don't pay a research team to go dig up these facts. We just kind of have to roll with what we know and the help that we've gotten from our Glimpse supporters. So I think between that and then just us also letting the guests feel like this is kind of off the cuff conversation. It's not so stringent, not so scripted. I think that's what also helps, kind of the same way my anxiety and stress levels go down when you and I collab together. I think that gets to the guests as well pretty quick, and they can just see we're just a couple peeps hanging out, just having a conversation. And because they're now comfortable, the interviews turn out so much better than they could be.
Yeah, and they're a lot of fun too. So tell us, here's the deal. We talked about a lot of our collaborations, and it was hard to remember this stuff. Once it comes back up, once somebody gives me a prompt, then I got it. You know what I mean? Yeah. But my point being that there's so much that we've done. I'm just curious, what are some collaborations that Impulse and I have done in the past that resonate with you? And put in the comments, because I bet you we're going to see a ton that we're like, I completely forgot about that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I want to see.
We haven't done like a funniest moments video in a long time. I think we had like best moments from seasons 1 through 11 of Naked and Scared.
Yeah.
And we've done 14 seasons since.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool.
16 seasons.
Has it been that many?
I don't know. No. How many seasons? I don't know. I have no idea. I really have no idea.
Well, you know, this is going to beg the question now that we've talked so much about that specific series. You know, is it done? Is it coming?
I hope not.
Because it has been a good stint.
Yeah.
And we do have the ability to give a big size hiatus in between seasons sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, with everything that we're juggling at the moment, it's just been very difficult to figure out how that would fit in. But every time we have these conversations, I feel this like void in my heart of like, I want that back, you know, and I bet you that's not just me, you know, so might be something worth talking about and seeing if we can get on the docket for someday fairly soon.
Yeah.
And if they start submitting their favorite moments, not only from that, from all the other things that we've done, it's probably going to fuel that fire even stronger, I bet.
Yeah.
So who knows? Might be season, I don't even know, 27?
That's what
it's
I'm saying.
It's been so long, yeah. I don't remember what season.
I would say
we
27
left.
Or 17, but that's a big difference. So
they were in the 20s. We're okay, definitely in the 20s. And I think at some point we did a couple like live streamed ones
because
we realized
those
that
are fun.
We realized that the only way this was going to get done is if we marry it with our current schedule, which already has live streams on the docket. So maybe that's another solution that we could do in the future if we're going to do another one. But I mean, I wouldn't say that we're never going to do another one.
No,
like that series is so much fun, and I will never forget the day that we sat in Taco Bell and came up with the idea for that series.
The ultimate collaboration.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the last time I had Taco Bell as well.
Yeah, whatever.
I seriously haven't had Taco Bell in a long time.
It's been a long time for me too.
Yep.
There we go. Podcast about fast food. All right, let us know. I really want to know. Like, think of just moments you remember that we didn't mention, and put it in the comments, because I want it for me. I want to remember those moments, and I'm just struggling to think about it.
Yeah. No, I think we had a few, but I'm sure they're going to have a lot more for us to check out. So
yeah.
We're looking forward to reading those comments, and I suppose this is a good place to wrap this one.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's there you have it. We'll,
catch you next
time. We're going to collaborate a little bit more.
Yeah.
See you guys.
We'll keep it up.